Tantor Audio presents These Is My Words by Nancy E. Turner, narrated by Amy Rubinate. July 22nd, 1881. A storm is rolling in, and that always makes me a little sad and wistful. So I got it in my head to set to paper all these things that have got us this far on our way through this heathen land. It's been a sorrowful journey so far, and hard, and so if we don't get to San Angelo, or even as far as Fort Hancock, I am saving this little theme in my cigar box for some wandering travelers to find, and know whose bones these is. When they were young, Mama and Papa went the Oregon Trail with their folks, and when they married they came from Oregon and started up a little farm near a road by Cottonwood Springs, in the west end of New Mexico Territory. We always ran a fine string of horses as long as I can remember. My favorite is a little roan with a white nose, and I call her Rose. In 1881, we stuck out a wet winter and a plum pleasant spring. Then Papa and the big boys, that's Ernest and Albert and Jimmy Reed, drove a few of them with the McIntosh's cattle down to a place called Phoenix, and to a place higher up on one end of the valley called Hayden's Ferry. They were gone nearly 6 weeks all totaled. Ernest and Albert is my big brothers, of which I got two younger'uns, Harland and Clover. Had a baby sister who went with the angels before she was a year old, so my folks calls her Harriet Jane, but on the inside, I calls her my angel sister. I always thinks of her in my prayers, and buried one of my dolls in her little grave, so she could grow up and we'd play together. In my mind, Angel Sister watches over me. I used to pretend tea parties and jump rope with her. I always wished I had a sister more than any other thing there is. It is good to have these brothers here, but it is not the same as having a girl you can talk to and play with. And besides, they can be an ornery bunch and tease me to no end. I am purely outnumbered. Harland was 9 years old and Clover was 6 when Papa and the boys came back with their pockets running over in cash, and Papa says that their Phoenix was hotter than the devil's frying pan. So he's getting fed up with the territory and the farmhouse in need of fixing and all. He specs to point the front end of our wagon toward the Rio Grande and head for greener pastures by way of Texas. Jimmy Reed got in a quandary about all this talk, 'cause he been living with us like family since his people all died of cholera in Ute Territory, and that's most of 5 years. Jimmy Reed couldn't make up his mind should he pull up stakes with us or stay and marry Miss Ruth Ann McIntosh, whose papa owned a good spread and some groves of peach trees and a couple of purebred bulls. I can't recollect what kind. Well, Papa said stay or go, but we are pulling out come July 4th, and he figured Jimmy was 19 and too young a pup to go serious sparking a girl, even if she is 17. I was 17 too, but I guess he didn't figure I minded, 'cause there isn't no other boys around, and I'd as soon kiss a pig as Jimmy Reed. Ernest and Albert took to teasing him until he jumped on a bare-backed pony and rode off mad. He come back and say he's about to marry Miss Ruth Ann, and her pa says he can live in their bunkhouse for a year and earn the right. Papa and the boys rounded horses, and even took some mustangs until we had most all our herd we knew of. I wanted to break Rose to the bit before we took off, but Papa said there'd be time along the way, and I could saddle break her by the time we hit San Angelo, which was where he expected to settle. Mama asked him what was there in San Angelo, and he couldn't say, and she just laughed and said, "Henry Arthur, your feet is just itchin'." Mama don't mind moving on, she says. All she has done all her life is move. First as a little girl to Oregon, and then around the Northwest Territory with her folks, then with Papa. She says a move is a time for lightening your load and starting things new. Me and Mama rolled up the dishes and curtains and packed the bedding and quilts that was finished in between her mirror and a real glass window we was taking from out the front wall. All the packing was done, and we was pulling out down the road, and I couldn't take my eyes off the little house sitting there lonesome-looking, with that window open like a mouth calling us back. Ahead of us, the boys are driving the herd, and behind us is our dogs, Two Buddy and Bear, running and playing and chasing a rabbit now and then. Papa gave me a can of hoofblack to use for writing, and I have whittled some quills from our old rooster's tail feathers. He said he never saw a body more set on writing letters than me. We drifted the herd toward the town of Prescott and started down the long mountain through the Black Canyon, then out across the big Salt River Valley. It took 8 days 'cause the wagon broke a axle, and we had to send back to Prescott before we was far out of town. It was only the beginning, and I started to have this holler feeling and kept dreaming of that house with the open mouth calling us. "Mama," I says, "it's like it's a bad sign." Mama got her feathers ruffled and said the good book don't teach signs and suspicions, and made me read the Old Testament out loud to her most of the afternoon on the road. She never did learn to read, but she sure wanted her children to, so she made Papa teach me some letters, and then I figured out words from the letters. Mostly I do write well, but some of these Old Testament verses gets me addled with the words. I hope there are schools in San Angelo that will take a girl as big as me, 'cause I want to learn to write better. Probably there ain't. July 29th, 1881. Well, we drove up through the valley, and there is a sign at Hayden's Ferry saying it is now a town called Tempe, but it is just 2 adobe buildings and some fence, and they got a mighty nerve to call that little old cow corral a town. It was hotter than I ever knew it could be. Out across the desert, 45 miles to the Gila River, and no water for all them long miles. It was the hardest travel I ever knew, and I felt sore on the insides, like we was riding in the dark to a brink of a canyon we couldn't see. Times like that, you have to trust your horse's sense and let him have his head, as only a pony could smell the lay of the land at night. August 4th, 1881. By this time, Rose is getting good and broke in. She lets me on her bareback but don't want a saddle, so in a few days I will try a blanket. She feels good and rides smooth as a canoe, and don't take to rough-mouthing her, which I don't do. We struck the river just above the Pima Agency and stayed put some days to water the horses and us as well. All around the agency was Indians and Mexicans. I never did see so many brown people before, and I figured the sun scorched them like a flat iron on a white shirt. Anyway, I feel sorry they have to live in this end of the devil's frying pan. They stared at me and I stared at them back, and then Papa said, "Girl, get in that wagon and pull your bonnet down low and quit looking." I asked Ernest what for, and he said he'd been following me with a shotgun all day to keep them in mind I was a lady and nothing else. I asked him what else, and he said a dead lady. So I laughed and said I seen him shoot. Maybe I better carry the shotgun myself. August 6th, 1881. We traveled up the river to the old town of Florence, then came to the mouth of the San Pedro River. At that point, we are joined by 2 wagons of folks who want to throw in with us to go east. By the time Papa gets done saying all he knew about San Angelo, they is ready to go there too. I don't know where he knew it from. It is Mr. and Mrs. Lawrence and their 4 daughters, Alice and Louisiana and Ulyssa and Savannah. They is all beautiful girls too, except the middlest one who got buck teeth. I seen her smile at a rabbit and scare it. The oldest girl, Savannah Lawrence, set about to making biscuit dough that evening, and I never did see my brother Albert more taken with biscuits than that supper. He was fetching her water and stoking her a fire, and had a blaze going to light up midnight, and I laughed. Mama poked my ribs and said, "Any biscuits put in that better be named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They are them fellers in the Old Testament flung into the fiery furnace, who walked out again without a singed hair on their heads." All these handsome girls and their ma was dressed in black and with little caps, because they is friends, which we call Quakers. They talk strange, but they can quote the Bible up one side and down the other, so Mama thinks they are wonderful folks. Their pa is scary looking to me, because he got a wooden leg and told how he lost it in the war. But he wasn't fighting, but doctoring. He says Quakers don't believe in killing nor fighting of any kind. We are all thankful to know a doctor out in this forsaken land, even though he says he is just a sawbones, not a pill grinder. The other wagon belongs to Mr. and Mrs. Hoover. They keep to themselves and seem peevish about every one of us. They got a huge Conestoga kind of wagon and are from back east somewhere. Papa suspects it must be east of the furthest tree, since they are such tin horns and whine and worry him so. Papa don't take to being worried. He says horses take to a calm hand, a strong backbone, and a steady grip. If you give them a weak knee, they just do wrong. He knows his horses, and I spect I like a strong backbone better than all the tears and blushing and complaining from Mrs. Hoover. Mr. Lawrence says there's outlaws in the mountains and Indians, and either of them will take the horses from us by force, so he will help guard in shifts for the good of us all. My papa said that's a blessing, and he promises Mr. Lawrence a pick of a horse in payment for his good advice when we see San Angelo. August 8th, 1881. We traveled up the San Pedro to Mount Graham and turned east to Wilcox. There we struck the SPRR railroad tracks. We seen more white people who say we will never get to Texas with all them horses, and for us to travel as near the railroad tracks as we could, all down through the San Simon Valley. They said Mr. Lawrence was right about the mountains, and I got that sore feeling inside again. In trying to stay near the tracks, we have to go wide now and then, where the track skirts right up on the banks of the San Pedro. It is muddy in places, and even where there is not water, a horse can step down and get mud. There are trees so thick and close, a deer couldn't get through, or even a weasel in places. And twice we got stove up on brush that looked like it led to a path, but didn't. That San Simon Valley was more of a desert and a wilderness than anything I had ever seen, although it was not as hot as before. Brittle brush and prickly pears are everywhere, and along the banks of the river it's thick with mesquites and brambles and high cottonwoods. That is the prettiest kind of tree there is to me. A cottonwood makes a sound with the leaves like they are talking to each other, a gentle and soft sound. In the fall they turn yellow and copper, and the ground under a cottonwood looks like it is covered with pennies. Under our cottonwood back home, I used to collect the pennies and pretend I was rich. One time I sewed them onto a bonnet to be pretty, but they dried out and fell off. August 10th, 1881. We met some travelers going back the other way. It was two fellows on a buckboard loaded with mail, and five army soldiers to guard it, plus they have got three mules loaded with ammunition. They told us we were lucky to come this far, as there is terrible Apache problems all around us. We shared some water as their horses looked mighty dogged. They were grateful and wished us well. Well, my papa has a hand for horses better than most anyone you could name, but he don't have much hand for fixing houses and wagons, and by the time we was pointing toward El Paso, we lost another axle. Mr. Hoover got a spare two for himself, but he can't see it clear to lend us one. So we lay up for a whole day, while Mr. Lawrence and Papa rig up a axle. Mama rolls her eyes a lot that day and says there's a dry wind coming, but I don't know what that is. Sure enough, it is dry and thirsty, and you can drink, but it don't do no good. And before we get down to the Rio Grande Valley, we is all wanting water, and the horses drink our share. We had to go down some 80 miles to the old ruins of something that was called Fort Hancock. There, by the banks, we rest and drink, and watch the horses drink a dry spot in the river. August 11th, 1881. Mrs. Hoover is carrying on about my brothers playing Indians and war party, because it makes her worrisome. Mama scolded Harland and Clover and said, "Play it where she can't hear you, boys. She is a tenderfoot and liable to faint if she hears one more war whoop or rebel yell from you young'uns." Also, Mr. Hoover says tonight he won't be able to take a watch because his wife is feeling poorly from the travel. I think inside if he is worried, he can watch nearby, but I don't say nothing. It is becoming
Sample complete. Ready to continue?